pray. Jesus, we pray that this night that you will pour out your Spirit upon us. Lord, we come to you as empty vessels. Fill up the cup of our hearts, we pray. We ask, Lord, that if there's any obstacle hindering us from receiving more of your love, we pray that in the name of Jesus, that you will remove that obstacle and that you will pour out afresh your Spirit upon us, Lord, that we can receive your love and then to extend that love to others. Lord, we acknowledge this evening that we are sinners, we have fallen short of your glory, and that it's because of our sin you went to the cross. But it is because of your love that you went to the cross. It is because of your love that you redeemed us. So on this night, may you be glorified, King Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. Welcome to the Maundy Thursday service. Maundy Thursday is all about recognizing the extravagant love of what the Lord has done for us, and then also the invitation from the Lord to us to love others as he has loved us. Dostoevsky says, love in action is harsh and a dreadful thing compared with love in dreams. We love the idea of love. We love the thought of love. We love the thought and the idea of being a community of love. But to actually do what's required to be a loving people is painful. It hurts. It requires sacrifice. That kind of love costs. It costs something. And so as we enter into this Maundy Thursday service, we recognize that the theme of this entire time is love. Maundy Thursday comes from the great mandate. And the great mandate is given to us in John 13, verse 34. A new command I give you, Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And on this night, love has two directions. God's love to us, and then secondly, our love to one another. The first, God's love to us, is revealed in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. It was before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. This was the night that the Passover was to be celebrated, the night that commemorated the deliverance of God's people from the hand of their oppressor through the death of a lamb. And now Jesus, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, stands up and in front of the disciples, takes out his outer clothing, puts on a towel, stoops down, and washes the feet of the disciples. This was a prophetic action declaring that redemption comes through the great humiliation of God's one and only Son, to come into the sinful world, to die on a cross for us, to have sin placed upon him, so that those who put their trust in Jesus would have, shall have, everlasting life. And the demonstration of that took place as Jesus took out the outer garment, putting on a towel, and washing the feet of his disciples. He came as a servant, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The second direction of love is not only from God to us, but also from us to one another. In verses 14 through 17, it says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So we too are now called to love others as Christ has loved us. Love means to show kindness, to be patient, to lay down our life for the other, to give sacrificially, to love the other just as Christ has loved us, and to forgive. Tonight we're going to hear a story about a sacrificial love, a love that costs through the demonstration of forgiveness. I'd like to invite up Sarah and Nicole. Something profound took place among them and in them last year at Maundy Thursday. And when you talk about a love that costs and a love that's expressed in forgiveness, I can't think of a more powerful example than that. Sarah and Nicole, they are OGs at Wellspring. They are part of the original crew that planted Wellspring with us. It was a small group, and they were a part of it, which meant that they were a part of shaping the values, the vision, the mission of the church. Also, Sarah and Eric were the first leaders with The Well, which seeks to serve the under-resourced within our community. They were the ones that launched it. And so every value, every vision, every mission, Sarah and Eric have had their fingers on. So I want to go back to, actually before we go back to that night, I want to ask you first, Sarah, what's it been like with your parenting journey and specifically with adoption?
Sure. So our journey started 25 years ago, having one birth child after some significant infertility struggles. And we adopted a son from Ukraine, and then 7 years later met Zyreek and Nicole and adopted them.
And Nicole, what was that process like for you, being adopted, being in this family?
I think the best word to describe it is complicated. I felt like there's just, I think about it like two boxes that I'm meant to exist in, the black box and the white box, and I think it was hard for me, especially growing up, because I was adopted with a lot of the memories and traumas that I had. I think a lot of babies who are adopted don't necessarily have those vivid memories of being separated from your biological family, so there was a very big adjustment that I had to face, and then there's a lot of this pressure of trying to acclimate into being into a white family, and which box do I exist in and get to live in, which was hard.
Was there any, like, one part of your life, maybe middle school, high school, maybe early years, that were more challenging than others, or was it just challenging throughout?
I think just the very beginning. I remember we always talk about Mother's Day. Mother's Day was really hard because I had a very deep connection with my birth mother, and so I would take out that pain on my mom. And I think as I grew older and had wonderful communities like Wellspring and school, I was able to kind of heal and have a sense of belonging that I didn't have when I was younger. So I feel like in high school, I'm confident in who I am. I'm not as attached to those memories of feeling inadequate or something like that. Yeah.
So 14 years ago, Zyreek wanted to reconnect with your birth mom. What was that like for you when he wanted to do that?
Sure. Just to clarify, we adopted them 14 years ago, and I thought it was when they would ask me when can we see our birth parents again, the most logical answer was 18, and so right before Zyreek turned 18, we lost my mother very unexpectedly, and a few weeks later, Zyreek came to us and said that he wanted to meet his birth parents. And I'm going to tell you, that was a really hard moment for me because I actually said the words, I can't lose them too. I just couldn't. And I didn't know what that would be like, opening the door. It had been recommended to us that the children not have contact with their birth parents for some safety reasons. And so 18 seemed logical. It's not. But the Lord, in that moment, that most vulnerable moment for me, the most fragile moment that really I had ever experienced, he met me in that, and it was that reminder of that I could do nothing apart from him. And he said, I will lead you. Come alongside them in this. I will lead you. But that happened, but Nicole wasn't quite sure. Did you want to?
Touch base on that. I think I was feeling just a lot of people, I think, use, like, for example, the word real parents is the first thing that comes to mind when we're talking about this. I think there's a little bit of maybe possible ignorance towards the adoption and biological experience. And so growing up, I feel like it was hard for me thinking about the reconnection process, because people would use that word of real parents, and there was a lot of people would romanticize this reconnection for me, and I felt a little bit wary and anxious upon reconnecting with her because there was a lot of just holes in the story that I didn't have, and a lot of things that I was wary about her because we got separated, and there's a reason why we got separated, so that reconnection for me was scary. Mm. And I was reluctant to do it, but my brother and I, if anyone knows, Irik and I were a package deal, so so it was kind of like my mom said, even though I was scared, I wanted to be there for him in that moment, and so I decided to, you know, take that journey with him, alongside him, because I didn't want him to be alone for that, but it was still very scary, a lot of unknown.
Mm. Did he come and talk to you first about this, or did he come and talk to you, Sarah?
It was more like a family dinner. I think we all sat down
and talked about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we talked about it because of that connection, I wanted to, for the longest time, wanted to reconnect, and he was indifferent because he's so laid back. And then eventually, as I became more confident with myself, I was like, I don't need this part of my story to be answered at this time. And then for him, he wanted answers.
And that's when it got brought up, is when you were fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, take us back a year ago to the last Maundy Thursday. What happened, Sarah?
Sure. So the reunion was incredible. So many questions were answered, and we were starting to learn how to do life together and what that would look like. And Zyreek, this is our family's favorite service of the year. It's so deeply meaningful to all of us. And there's something about entering into the vulnerability. I remember even the little squabbles on the car ride here, like who was going to wash whose feet and how was it going to work? And there was all this anxiety and vulnerability even leading up into this service. And then just after the service, the closeness to God that our family always felt was really powerful. And he wanted to invite her to this service. She has a tendency to be late, and after the sermon, she still wasn't there, and the anxiety in our row was building. I could see the kids looking, and was she going to show up for them? Was she going to come? And she walked in the door about when the foot washing started, and she joined our row, and we were invited to wash people's feet. She had missed the directions, everything, and the kids just looked at me and Irik, and I thought, oh no, she's here for you. Like, this is your moment with her. Like, we've raised you to this point. We've led you to this point. We've washed feet all these years and had these important moments. This is your moment with her. It's not the way the Lord had it. And I very clearly heard him say to me, I need you to wash her feet. Mm. And so I took her, and she brought her mom, her birth mom, with her, and I took them by the hand, and one hand on each side, and we went back, and I washed our birth mom's feet. And it was just the most incredible moment of washing the feet of the woman who had given them life. And they were so incredible and so important. And it was like, I can't explain it because it transcends all human understanding, but it was like a moment of bonding between she and I that was really beautiful and very, very vulnerable.
Now it's my turn.
Yeah. what do you remember going back a year ago? What was it like for you?
I was feeling, again, anxious because Wellspring is my safe space. It's, as you touched on, it's where I've grown up. It's just where I was baptized. All of my memories, especially in correlation to God, are really rooted here in Wellspring. And so for her, a person who I, in my brain, correlate with wariness and pain and this feeling of not being enough, for her to come into that space, my sacred space, I was feeling very anxious, and unsure of what God and my family really had planned for the evening. And so that was my initial reaction. But then as I got to see my parents wash my birth mother's feet, I just felt so incredibly moved. It was just this beautiful moment of, once again, someone who gave me life, gave me life, birthed me, but then someone who actually gave me life, gave me my morals, gave me my sense of being, my connection and love for God and life. To see those two worlds come together was just a really humbling moment, and I felt kind of at peace in that moment. Yeah, but still, there's a lot of turmoil going on. Yeah.
And after your mom washed your birth mom's feet, then what happened for you after that?
My mother, she started washing her feet, and then I think that gave Zyreek and I the go-ahead to start to partake in it. And so she took a step back, and then I felt prompted to also wash her feet. And I remember just being so humbled and seeing my tears mix in with the water, this moment of this sacred water that we're washing another's feet, and then feeling my tears, my pain, my agony, like intermingled with that. It was a humbling moment. And I remember afterwards hugging her and being embraced by her and looking up and just hearing God say, I think you should forgive her. You need to forgive her. And just that beautiful moment of, because I held a lot of resentment because I felt like I wasn't enough for her. And for the Lord to tell me, you need to let go. You need to allow her into your space, into your heart, or at least into this moment that we are sharing, was so humbling. Which was interesting because then that night on Good Friday, you ended up talking about forgiveness. So I felt so humbled that the Lord had shared that word with me of forgiveness as it was being focused upon that whole Holy Week. And so it was just a very profound moment for me. I did forgive her, yes. Yeah. I did, yeah.
And it came at a cost.
Yeah.
Forgiveness comes at a cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's it been like? Or you want to say something?
Well, I just wanted to say that in that moment of forgiveness, what we were able to see afterwards was a freedom for Nicole. Mm-hmm. That a child that really did struggle with wondering if she was enough, that she had been so concerned about being given up, that the stone was lifted, the weight was lifted, and there was freedom upon her.
Yeah, forgiving her was just as much important for her as it was for me, because I was able to let go of that resentment and exist in that moment with her, even if that didn't mean I would forgive her for the things that would come in the future. In that moment, I was able to forgive her for leaving us behind, for not picking us. I think it's so hard when you think about adoption. The one person who's supposed to love you, who carries you for 9 months, who's meant to just nurture you, and then that feeling of not being enough for her, of her choosing something over you, that pain that I internalized, and I still struggle with that. But being able to let that go and say, I forgive you, I'm coming. You do not have the ability to come meet me where I am, but I, with God's help, am able to come and meet you where you are, was just a humbling moment.
Yeah. Thank you. What's it been like since then? Nicole, maybe you go. Maybe you start.
I think, in all transparency, it's been pretty hard. I think I thought after I forgave her and gave it all up to God, I figured that we would be smooth sailing and we'd be perfect after that. And it's just really ebbed and flowed. And I think that's life. It's not always going to be perfect. And so every day we're just kind of navigating our relationship. I personally feel like because I reconnected for Zyreek, and now that he's off to college, I'm able to now decide my relationship with her. Beforehand, it was our relationship with her, and now it's up to me because he's gone to decide my connection with her, and so I've taken a step back. We don't talk as much, which is okay, and I'm learning that that's okay to not be okay, and that's okay to say that I've forgiven you, but I still need time to figure out kind of what our relationship looks like going forward. So that's been, just a process that we're navigating every day.
Sarah, what about for you?
Yeah, I think so many times we expect these mountaintop experiences that we just get to stay at that plateau, and this is a broken world. And so we enter back into the brokenness, and that God is just there every time to meet us in those spaces and to deepen our relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for Sarah and Nicole. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in their hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for their courage to be able to come up here and to share the story that, Lord, that you have, that you are working out in and through their life. Lord, we do pray for Nicole's birth mom. We pray that you draw her to yourself. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave the courage, you gave the strength, you gave the humility for Sarah and Eric to wash her feet, for Nicole to wash her birth mom's feet. Thank you, Lord, for giving her the resource to be able to forgive her birth mom. And Lord, we recognize that right now it's not tied up in a bow, but we know, Jesus, that when you come back again, everything will be made right. We look forward to that day. And Jesus, for all of us here, Lord, as we wash one another's feet, pour out your love upon us and give us the strength to forgive where we need to forgive, to be patient where we need to be patient, to sacrifice where we need to sacrifice, and to love as you have loved us. And we pray this in your name, Jesus.